The celebration of a meal which was prepared by the Lord Jesus Christ. Where do we begin? There is only one place to begin, and that is before creation. Let it be said here and now that there is something that the entire religious world, with all of its expositions, has completely overlooked, and that is that which happened before creation, and that which happened after the end of creation. Genesis 1:1 through Genesis chapter 2. There is no sin in those two chapters. This has also been utterly overlooked. Revelation 21:22, utterly without sin, none. And those are the only chapters in the scripture where there is. One was before and one is after the fall. Now, I want to make it really clear to you, that to all of us, that you cannot find, if you cannot find what you believe strongly in Genesis 1 and 2 and Revelation 21 and 22, then what you have is not worth pursuing in any serious manner. There are only two other things that are an exception to that. One is what we find in Colossians chapter 2, and the most mistranslated single passage so pertinent to understanding the greatness of Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 2, verse, 15, 16, yes. All things were created by him. No, things were not created by him, not in that passage, but in him. Not for him, through him, to him, but in him. Christ was there, and creation was inside of him. Not like Michelangelo's God in creating in the Sistine Chapel. Creation took place in him. And when he said in Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and Omega, he was before Alpha, and he is after Omega. All things were created in Christ, and he is before all things. That's Colossians 2:17. Christ before all things. But what about after? Even after Revelation 22, that passage that is so once more overlooked in 1 Corinthians 5, 17-18, that God might be all in all. The final picture is of even Christ the Son, who by his own words stated, I came out of the Father. Now, in this passage, we find him going back into the Father. When all things have been subjected to Christ, then Christ will subject himself to the Father, and then God shall be all in all. I want to repeat this. There are things which happened before Genesis 1 and after Revelation 22. But in those chapters that have no sin, which deal with those things which are on the earth, keep in mind there is no sin there. And we get a look at God's eternal purpose, Ephesians 2. And now we see that there is something before, which is Christ, and after, Revelation 22, when God is everything there is, and anything else that is not God, God is all that is therein. And God shall be all in all. It was 42 years ago that I stood for the first time in my life and began a conference by saying, let us go back before the beginning when there was nothing but God and he was all. And this 42 years later, I say to you, let us go back before there was anything with the exact words. Do not imagine that there is God and a great, vast, empty space of nothingness. No, for God had not yet created nothingness. He was all, and there was nothing else except him, who is the all. We must always begin there. You don't begin with a verse. You don't select a topic. You move from the point before anything had taken place, nothing. Neither angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor nothingness. There was only one thing. God was all. He had not yet created anything that was not himself. We begin there to look at this celebration, knowing that that celebration was in the thought of the fellowship of the Godhead, and he went out of his way to make sure that you and I understood this. May I never begin a theme which you can find in Genesis 1 and 2 and ending up in Revelation 21 and 22. May I never speak. But when I begin with Genesis 1 and 2 and find it in its fulfillment in Revelation 21, 22, and add to that, that I may always begin with God the All. We dare not go anywhere else. With Christendom in a great dearth, a drought, in fact, one that it's a drought that's been there almost from the beginning of the Christian era of shallowness, that which is objective on the surface. Let we begin. Let you always begin with Genesis. And before that, him who was he who was before all things, even Christ, God in Christ, and after that, creation in him. But there was a time when he was all, and he will end up someday in the final assessment, in the final essay, God will be all in all. I want you to look at John 8 and just know this, that in John 8, 28, Jesus made a statement. Before Abraham was, I am. Let it drench you. May it consume you. As we look at this celebration, before that celebration, Jesus called himself the very holiest name of God. And he did it three or four, perhaps five times. I am. Before Abraham, I am. It is the sacred name which Jews will not pronounce, but I'm not a Jew. It is a sacred name, and it simply sounds this way. And it's not Elohim, and it's not El Shaddai. It is simply Yahweh, with a breath in it. Yahweh. I am that I am. I am. And he stood there in John 8 and said, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham means he was there before the law. Before he said to Abraham, I will give you the righteousness of God himself, the innocence, the purity, the rightness, the wholeness, the completeness, all that God is, I will impart to you, Abraham, because you have faithed me. That was spoken to a Babylonian who was not circumcised. And God said, I calculate, I reckon, I state that you, Abraham, are righteous. Christ said, I am. And that came that moment when he said to Philip, Philip, I've been so long with the Father and you've not seen me. How long had that been? It had been all the way back into the Godhead of eternity. Before Abraham was, I am. Before all that is mentioned in the first 11 chapters of Genesis, I was and I am. I am there. And that statement in Revelation 1 does not state, 1:8, does not say, someday I'll be Omega. He said, I am right now the beginning, and right now I am the end. Of course he is the end because creation is inside of him. He envelops creation, therefore he stands at the end of creation at the same time that he begins creation. All things are in him. And previous to that, he was all that there was. And then he placed creation in him. And he who is not fettered, and he's fettered by nothing, not by space, nor time, nor mention, nor dimension, no calendar. He wanders all that there is, and he doesn't take a long time to get from the beginning of it to the end, for he is at the end and he's at the beginning. He had to make space for himself being all in order to place creation in him. And we go back And there he is, the Godhead. And they are fellowshipping. Now, let's say that you have been in medical school for 8 years. You come out of there, you'll be talking about medicine. If I'm in theology for 4 years, I come out talking about theology. Heaven help me. If you spend 4 years in accounting, your head will be filled with figures. Because that's what you've been subjected to. That's where your mind and thoughts have been. Well, what if you had been in the Godhead for all eternity and suddenly became a human being? What would your subject be? I will tell you this, whatever it was, it's central to God. What did he talk about? He talked about God and all the aspects of God. We're going to find out what that is and be stunned and shocked. When he began speaking, listen, because he just got out of med school, accounting, theology, whatever you wish to say, he has been in God for all eternity, and he opens his mouth. And what's on the mind of God is on the mind of Christ. What on earth does he speak of? It certainly wasn't doctrine. This simple Galilean, he had one of the simplest of all vocabularies that you'll find anywhere in literature. He was one syllable in his speaking. He was a one syllable God. Listen to what he has to say. Now we have a God who's the all. Before Abraham, I was back there with Noah. Before Abraham was, I was there in the garden with Adam. And my thoughts were on Adam and Eve. And I had an eternal purpose, and I haven't given it up yet. And it began before eternity and will go beyond eternity. And I reveal that. I reveal it when I made man. And when I created, I will demonstrate to you what was on my mind for all the eternals. And when I close Revelation out, I will be speaking to you what that which is still on my mind. And I have to pause here and say, listen to what you will hear, because in the simple observance of this celebration, and it is a celebration that God has given us, all these things come together, and we catch the mind of God when he was back there, all and nothing but all. These are not shallow words. And this is why we pay such close attention to that celebration, because when we delve into it as we do right now, we begin to see a colossal kaleidoscope, panorama, drama, collage, a portrait, a painting that goes from eternity past and disappears into eternity future, the true mind of the living God. And get ready for it, because it will that thought of God will surprise you. I'm going to say it again. When he came and began speaking on this earth, it was as though he had gathered up all that he ever pictured to us in the Old Testament, all of it, came to the central issue of the Old Covenant, and began speaking to us in words that were on and were the thought of God himself, for he was God himself. Watch to what he was thinking about and stand in awe. Oh, let the Christian faith bow its knee to this Christ. In theology, he's called the cosmological Christ, the Christ of creation. I would like to say, bow your knee before the Christ who is before creation. He had a thought that he shared with absolutely no one. Oh, he did a lot before he made creation. It's so interesting that he did so much at the very moment of creation. From the foundations of the world, from the foundations of the world, from the foundations of the world, at the time when he said, let. But oh, had he been busy getting ready for that glorious moment. I want to say it again. Christ the All. Christ the All. God the All, nothing but God. God in fellowship with himself. God in counsel with himself. And Ephesians, and God counseled with himself. And Genesis 1, let us too make, let us make man. And he counseled with himself in the Godhead. Well, long before he did anything, he counseled with himself. And he had a thought, and we're going to find him. What is it like God fellowshipping with himself? The Father and the Son by means of the Holy Spirit. Fellowshipping together throughout all eternity. What was it like? What's it comparable to? Give us an illustration and let us learn to enter into that fellowship. For John in his old age said, I've written the Gospels and I've written three letters and I have spoken these things to you that you may have fellowship with me, John, so you can sit down with me and understand. For I turn around and I have entered into the fellowship of the Godhead, and I, John, have fellowshipped with the Godhead. I have entered into the fellowship of the Godhead. And I've written all these things, spoken all these things, done all these things, lived all these things. And my fellowship with God, with Christ, the great Christ before and the Christ of the cosmos. Let us revere the Christ who is before creation as we revere Christ of creation. And I have written these things to you that you may have fellowship with me, John. For my fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. When I am dead and gone, as I probably am now that you're listening to this, the whole heart and soul of my ministry was to show God's people how to enter into that fellowship with God. And my writings and my preaching has been so that you could understand what I am saying and speak with the same voice and experience that I have had, that you may carry on and have that fellowship with God. Every year, I have held one conference. Sacred and as holy as it can get, with the request of every human being who ever entered it, that it never be written down. Never. Too holy for men to go read it and say, huh. 6.5 weeks, days, excuse me, to learn how to enter into the fellowship of God, the all in all. And that's exactly where we're headed. And I repeat this question, John, what was it like to enter into the fellowship of God, the all in all? What is it like to be lost into the fellowship of Christ before the eternals? Before eternity, when God was all, when there was not even room for eternity, except that God himself was eternal. God, the all in all, is where we began. Before Abraham, I was. Before Abraham, I am. Before angels, before principalities, before cherubims and seraphims, before sin, before principalities and powers in heavenly places, before there was a heavenlies, before there was an earth, before there was a star, I am. I'm all. There is nothing that precedes before Abraham, I am. Before let there be, before creation of heaven and earth, before death, before Satan, before a host of innumerable angels, before everything, God himself, the kingdom, not the kingdom of God, but God, the all, who rules over nothing but that which is God, before Abraham was, I am. Saints, before Abraham was, I am. Drop any other god you've got. And you poor Calvinists and you poor Arminianists who are so stuck in this world and you're seeing God making choices and you can't lose it, and Abraham and the Arminianist, oh yes, can. Do you understand that he can travel to the very end and then go back and travel to the beginning? And how can he do that? He can do it at the same time because he's at the end and the beginning, because all things are in him. He swallows up. He envelops eternity. So, John Calvin, excuse me, you who had a wooden stake driven through the foot of a man because you didn't like him, who sentenced your own daughter to death, who set up a committee called the Consistory so that everyone in Geneva, France, would be consistent in their moral conduct, you who went into raging fits when anyone disagreed with you, I'm going to say something to you, John Calvin. You don't have a big enough Christ. A Christ who can walk through that beautiful picture in Revelation where all of us who are redeemed come together to bow before him who is the Alpha and Omega. That he can walk right around and check out every name of every person who got there. Every person who survived, who is still confessing his name at the very end. And at the same moment go to the front before creation, when he is all, and write the names of those who are redeemed in the book of life. Go away, John Calvin. You Christ not big enough. Arminius, go away. Your Christ is too small. Swallowed up in God. Before Abraham was, I am, and I'm going to be, forever and forever, until that moment when I have all things in creation submit to me, and my wife comes into me, and then I turn in that glorious moment, and I, there I am, enter into the Father, and then everything there is gone. Whatever is there that is gone. All that there is gone. For all that is left is that which was in the beginning, God the All, the God who has permeated all. That would be you and me, and all the redeemed and the bride, lost in God forever. And the Father in Christ said, O Father, make them one, even as you and I are one. Brothers and sisters, we're exploring Christ, the All. Come and enter into this thought. He was all. And enter into this thought, too. What was he thinking? Oh, he's a great theologian. Oh, he was sitting there studying his Bible. Man, that is not what he was talking about when he finally opened his mouth. And I want to tell you now what you're going to be about to discover, and that is that he pictured these things which were in his mind all over the Old Testament. And they are all crying out with the same message. And that's going to get us to John 6 and to John 13 when he stands and says, celebrate this every year. Celebrate it every year that you might come back and see my riches and who I am and who you also are. Or and how you will know me. Watch him talk. Watch him do. And you'll find out what was on the heart of God when he finally opened his mouth. But he left breadcrumbs. He left breadcrumbs all through the Old Testament. So that day he went to be baptized, John the Baptist, and then turned around and came back. And when he went to a wedding, oh, saints, the richness of God in Christ. I have not made this today for you, Baptist preacher, to get up and preach it in a sermon. Sir, you have no business standing in a pulpit preaching. You got that from the orators of the heathen world, who were great orators who came to entertain and bring great orations to a mute audience. This message has been brought to you, a group of brothers and sisters who single-handedly, alone, whether you can speak well or not is immaterial, but you will go tell it on the mountains. You will preach these things because these are the things Christ intended to be seen when he said, "This is my meal, and remember me." And the Christ of the cosmos and the Christ before and Christ the all is whom we remember and whom we proclaim and keep on proclaiming until he gets back here, and then we will know as we are known. I think we're going to meet a God who's outside of space and time. We might actually remember the past. And we might also be the future. This is Gene Edwards. And this was given to revolutionize not only the celebration of Christ, but to revolutionize the church from top to bottom, to become a totally new expression on this earth, where brothers and sisters gather around with one thought, and that thought is Christ. What Christ? The Christ who is all, and the Christ is all in all. This is your lineage. This is your heritage. This is your message. This is his message for you to bring to God's people as we prepare for celebrating the celebration. This is Gene Edwards. I am a radical, a revolutionist, and I am a nonconformist. For I live outside the institutional church, and I live in a place where institutional Christianity has never been and cannot go. And it's for you to carry on. May God bless us, everyone. All who stand in that great throng, innumerable, the redeemed, all of the redeemed. And him who is Alpha and Omega, and him who said, let, and him who prepared and counseled with himself before he said, let, and he who has the fellowship of the Godhead and is extending that fellowship with you. He illustrated and spoke of it, and therein lies our heritage, our treasure, our walk, and our experience. Let's have the celebration of celebrations.